It is good to have everyone out this morning. We appreciate you being with us. I know we're missing quite a few of the men still from the men's retreat. Hopefully they'll get back safely. But it is good to have all of you with you. Before I start, though, I'm going to get in trouble and embarrass somebody half to death. But I have to tell you about a friend of mine that's here. His name's Fred Martin. Fred, we met as freshmen in high school. We became buddies because he almost killed me. I was a slow guy that couldn't jump. He was a big guy that could jump over me. And we were practicing one time, and he was going to dunk. And I don't let people dunk on me, so I got right underneath him and took a charge. Wasn't a bright move on my part. But he apologized, and from there we became best friends. Eventually, I just called him my brother. And today, he's kind of a hero of mine. He's a man, he's so big because he has a heart that size. I've never met anybody more caring than Fred Martin. He would walk around, he was also my bodyguard. Nobody messed with me because Fred was with me. But just a good man. He served in the military in Iraq, had some rough experiences, and yet he's still Fred. And I'm just honored today that he's here. He'll never know how much it means for him to be here this morning and see him sitting with Jenny. He's the one man I always trusted with my girlfriend. He'd always take care of Jenny. So I'm so glad to have him here with me. This morning, it's short, sweet, and to the point, wasn't it, Hunter? Just not a hard one to read at all. I thought about adding stuff to it, but no, this is my point. If you love me, keep my commandments, is what Jesus said. And as I watch religion today, I see we don't listen very well, do we? And just in general, that seems to be our social norm, is people don't pay attention to each other. And we've gotten to that way in the religious world where we just don't listen to Jesus. We just kind of do it the way we want to and expect Jesus to accept it. But Jesus said, if you love me, and there's the key, if you truly love me, you're going to keep my commandments. So what does that mean? Because today, apparently, it's got multiple meanings. You know, you keep most of them. Is it like school? You know, if I can get 60% or above, I pass. Or, you know, if I love him, does it really matter? I've heard this many times. Well, if I love him, he's not going to care what I do because he loves me. So as long as I believe in him, there's another good one. As long as I believe in him, it doesn't matter. But I'm here to tell you all those are going to be a big fat no. The Old Testament given to us to let us know that God, what he says is what he means. God's very blunt. And Jesus, when he was on this earth, was very blunt. I know he used parables at times, but those stories had unbelievable impact and meaning. And they were teaching for his disciples. But when it came to just the truth, he did not joke around, he didn't mess around. This was the truth. And that got him killed. But he meant what he said. We like to only put in the big sins, too, when he talks about what we don't do. We like to, well, we don't murder, and I don't steal, and I don't. But do we pay attention to everything that Jesus says? And that's the question that we want to look at. So this is where we're going to have to answer our own questions. We're going to have to analyze ourselves and say, all right, where are my weaknesses? And if you're sitting there thinking, oh, well, this sermon's not for me, I don't have any weaknesses. You have one, you lie to yourself. There's one right there. All of us have weaknesses. We all have faults. And we all have to find ways to deal with those, especially when it comes to sin. So let's look at a few possibilities of what we may fall into. You see my sign there, pride, lust, greed, envy, sloth, wrath, gluttony. Those aren't what we would consider the big ones. But they all are called sins by God. And do we fall under one of these situations in our lives? In Matthew 15, 7 through 9, talking to the scribes and Pharisees, he says, you are hypocrites. Well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, these people draw nigh to me with their mouth, and they honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. These are people worshiping God, but he says, their hearts are far from me. They're lost because even though they say they believe in me and they say they worship me, they're practicing their own thing, not my thing. And that's what we in religion need to be very wary and careful of. Are we doing what God says, or are we throwing in the stuff we like? Hey, God, I've got a great idea. You're going to love this. Don't you love it when somebody tells you that? I have a bad attitude. When people tell me, you're going to love this, I tend to already be ready to not. But we can't tell God, God, I've got an idea. You're going to love this. God's already told us what he wants. And we need to make sure that we're giving it to him. In Matthew 22:29, Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. I think the problem we have in society and religion today is that right there. We don't understand the scriptures, and we've forgotten who God is. I don't mean that we've forgotten he exists. We acknowledge he exists, and many of us say, I believe in him, and I love him, and blah, blah, blah. But we don't understand the scriptures because we don't study them like we should. And I'm saying, in general, not everyone's that way. There's people that study every day and are great about it. And I study every day, well, just about every day. I won't say every day, but just about every day. But most of my study is for sermons and lessons. And so I struggle in taking time to study just for me. Danny Westergaard did a class, and he mentioned Malachi. And I was like, I don't remember the last time I read Malachi. It's just four chapters. So I went and I read Malachi. And I'm working on a sermon out of it because it had been so long since I'd read that book. Four short chapters. But I don't remember the last time I'd read it. We need to make sure that we take time to study for us, for our relationship with God, and most importantly, our understanding of what God wants for us. I said y'all this for years. We put out on the front of our building, the Church of Christ. And that is a bold statement. We're saying that we love him and we're keeping his commandments. So brothers and sisters, that puts a heavy burden to make sure that that's exactly what we're doing here inside this building. That we are the Church of Christ. And just because we put it on there doesn't have a whole lot of meaning, brothers and sisters. There's names on churches all over the place that are not obeying Jesus Christ. So it's imperative that we as individuals know the scriptures, because as we read them, we're going to understand the power of God. And sometimes I'm in awe of the power of God when I look around about me. And sometimes we need to take time and remind ourselves who God is. We need to also understand in John 1:8, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. As I said earlier, if you said, well, this sermon's not for me, I don't have any weaknesses. You got one, you're a liar to yourself. And I think that's Satan's biggest weapon, is he gets us to convince ourselves we're okay. And there are preachers today that stands up and they'll preach the you're okay, I'm okay sermons. But we need to analyze in our lives the truth of God's word and say, am I really okay? Or is this right here a problem that I need to take care of? Now, all of us I pray just about every night at my nighttime prayer for God to help me overcome. And I have plenty of weaknesses. And I try to actually pray specifically for them. But we've got to work on acknowledging our weaknesses, because if we don't, we'll never overcome them. And it may be problems that we may have, weaknesses we have. We may fight our whole lives. But the key is that we never stop the fight. Because as soon as we quit fighting, we lose. And Satan wins. Continuing on. In Matthew 23:23, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. For you tithe mint and dill and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. These you ought to have done without neglecting the others. Notice what he said. He didn't go into your liars, your thieves. He says you've neglected justice, mercy, and faithfulness. And I read that and I stopped, and it's like justice. It means what we're doing with and for and to other people is just. It's right. He said mercy. Sometimes I think we struggle having mercy for people who need it. As a school teacher, I've learned when I got one of those kids that's driving me insane, I go and I check their file. And then you find out what they've gone through. what they're going through, and it's like, I understand now. And once you stop to understand what people are going through, or you may never understand what they're going through, but just stop and think, I don't know what they're going through. When I was, when I cut my toe off with a skill saw a few years ago, y'all probably remember that. If you weren't here, they've sewed it back on. It's good. But Jenny was trying to rush me to the emergency room. And she had her hazard lights on, and we're in the fast lane. We're trying, and somebody pulled over in front of us, and we're doing 10 miles under the speed limit. And Jenny had the flashers, and she honked her horns, and they waved, and they did all. And when we got to a red light, they stopped, and when it turned green, they just sat there. Jenny honked again, and I finally put a sign up in it that said, hospital. And they got out of the way and let us move on. But you see, they thought we were being jerks. But no, we had an emergency. We don't know what people are going through. And before we judge and dismiss them, let's strive to show mercy. Because who among us doesn't need mercy in our lives? And the last one was faithfulness. Oh, they talked about God all the time. They prayed all the time. They offered sacrifices. But he said, you've neglected being faithful to me. In other words, when we put it into Christian standards, oh, they showed up for church, especially on Sunday morning. They might have been Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. But that was the extent of their Christianity. Now, that yes, they were Jews, but we're putting it in modern standards. That was it. They showed up for church. But on a daily life, they were not living a faithful life to God. Are we living ours? Continuing on, look at Galatians 5, 19 through 21. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like. In which I tell you before, as I have told you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. You can also go to Revelation 21:8, and it tells you there that liars will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So let's look at some of these small ones. Hatred, wrath, strife, envyings, drunkenness. Well, we can even look at fornication. Today, according to Hollywood, everybody, that's just normal. And brothers and sisters, it's not. It's wrong. But the simple things of how easy is it to hate somebody? And God says, you hate people, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. We live in a society where hate rules. And as Christians, that ought not to be. We see religious groups that we hate. We see political groups that we hate. We see color of skin or culture or ethnic background, and we hate. And brothers and sisters, I hate to tell you, but God made everybody, and God doesn't make mistakes. So there is no one person better than anybody else. And God loves everyone that he created exactly the same. And if you don't like being with them here on earth, you're going to hate heaven because they're going to be there with us. Hate cannot be a part of Christian life. There is no excuse we can come up with to say I can hate that person. No. That keeps us out. Envying. How many of us struggle with envy? I wish I had that. And I've told y'all the joke my grandmother always used to say to not be envious. She'd say, I wish I had their car and they had a better one. But envying cannot control our lives. We need to be sure that we're obeying all of God's word, not just the pieces, parts that come in handy. Colossians 3, 5 and 6. Put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, greed, which is idolatry. Have you ever stopped and thought greed is idolatry? Well, there's no idol, Greg. Sure there is. Money, things can be our idols. How many people do you know that are obsessed with money and getting as much of it as they can and getting all the stuff that they want? And brothers and sisters, all that stuff, I'm getting old enough to realize that all that stuff seemed important at one time, but in the long run, what's it mean? Really nothing. I've talked to people who are past athletes that, you know, they won all these things, and they realize that that was important at the time, but they look back and it's like it really doesn't have any meaning. It's not really meaningful as far as my life and who I am and who I should be. The most meaningful thing that we'll do is be Christians. Because Christians are going to show love, not hate, mercy, not being just careless with people. We're going to show justice in the way we live our life and the way we treat people. Those are the hard ones. God tells us to love our enemies and pray for those that despitefully use us. We have to be different. We have to be the people that Jesus talked about, taught about, and represented while he was on this earth. But notice what it talks about. Impurity, lust, evil desires, our thoughts. That's one of my struggles, is my thoughts. And they can be bad sometimes. Without mercy or justice, sometimes I see evil things on TV, and the things that go through my mind are not what Christians should be thinking about. Anger can get in your brain, and you can start thinking about things that Christians shouldn't be thinking about. And you say, well, Greg, as long as you never do it, which I don't, but my mind should be more pure than that. And you have to catch yourself and stop yourself when you're having those impure, lustful, or evil thoughts in our minds. And we have to be so careful with greed. So careful. Because our society teaches it as a norm. And if we're not careful, we're being greedy and we're not even realizing the greed in which we have. And then finally, Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Jesus lived a life here on purpose. He was born as a human and lived a life as a human to show us how to be followers of him. Hard and strong when it came to the truth, but when it came to people, he was loving, he was caring, he was merciful, he was forgiving. That example was there for a purpose, for us to be like Christ. That's what Christian says, followers of Christ. But just because we put that name on there doesn't mean that we're truly doing God's word. Notice what it says. All these things about what is true, noble, right, what is pure, lovely, or admirable, praiseworthy. That's where our brains should be. And I can brag and say, yeah, I do that a lot. But I also struggle with the other. So we have to stay focused every day as Christians to be the people that God wants us to be. If you love me, he says, keep my commandments. Well, my first challenge, brothers and sisters, is before we sit down and pat ourselves on the shoulder and say, whoo, I'm a good Christian, are you reading this and actually doing it? It breaks my heart to talk to people who are out there that they think they're Christians. Somebody's told them, you do this, you're a Christian. And I try to talk to them about the Bible. And brothers and sisters, how many times they'll say, well, I've never heard that before. And it's because the only Bible they get is what they get from their preacher in a pulpit. Brothers and sisters, I cannot save you. I can't do it. I'm trying to be able to be saved and have the salvation of God blessed upon me. I can't preach anybody into heaven. I can encourage, I can support, but I can't get you there. Nobody but you and Jesus Christ can do that. But if you don't know what Jesus wants you to do and you're listening to just me, you're in trouble. I can't give you everything in this Bible. You've got to pick this thing up. And I'm like Danny, I am old school. I had a Kindle for a while. I love to read. But I didn't like it because I like turning my pages. I don't care whether you read it on your phone or I don't know if they make a Kindle, but on your computer or laptop or whatever you have, iPad, pick it up and read it. And today with our phones, we're on those things for all kinds of stuff. And even though I can't flip pages, I'm learning. I've got my Bible app on there. That's how I read Malachi. I did some at home and I finished it at school during my lunch period. Use time that we waste so often. I waste a bunch. Sometimes just pick up God's word and spend a few minutes, if it's only 10 minutes a day. Spend 10 minutes a day looking and studying God's word so that we know we're doing what God says. Well, the Bible tells us there's lots of things involved in salvation. We know we have to hear the truth, believe the truth, confess our belief, repent of our sins, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And then it says, walk in newness of life, which is what we've been talking about. Living the Christian life. But I don't know where all of you are on this table. Are you just hearing God's word for the first time? Do you believe God's word, but you've not done anything with that belief? Are you prepared to confess your sins and confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? If you are you ready to repent, which means turn away from sins? Now don't stop and tell yourself, well, when I get better, I'm doing better in my life. When I fix all these problems, I can become a Christian. You'll never become a Christian because you're never going to fix them all, especially by yourself. The only one that can fix our problems is Jesus Christ. He can wash them away. So if you're ready to change your life, and we have a baptistry up here, then you're ready to be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. That's what the Bible tells us. That's not me, if you read it. Acts 2:38 says, for the forgiveness of sins. 1 Peter 3:21 says, it is for our salvation. Where are you? If you haven't done those things and you're ready to obey the gospel, we're here for you. Maybe you've already obeyed the gospel. And you're in that part of walking a newness of life. Maybe right now you're just struggling. Brothers and sisters, it's okay to say I'm tired. It's okay to say I'm mentally, physically, emotionally, and spiritually tired. And I need help. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I shall give you rest. Place my yoke upon you and come to me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. So if you're not yet a Christian this morning, and you're ready to obey the gospel, we're here for you. Don't put it off. We don't know when this world's going to end. We don't know when our life is going to end. Don't keep putting off your salvation. Take care of it today if you're ready. And if you are a Christian, and you need prayers, support, encouragement, then come forward as we stand and sing our invitation song.